Would you just take a deep breath with me? Just kind of like, it's kind of nice to sort of let that in and out, right? We don't always get to just kind of pause and reflect on that kind of simple gift that we have, that but it's a gift. It's not something that you have paid for or you've earned or you have particularly deserved, apart from the fact that you're loved. I want to talk about gifts today. Now, we heard in the scripture a healing story, and it's a story of men who were afflicted with a skin disease, most likely leprosy. Leprosy is a horrible disease which caused nerve death, and then there are, just terrible sequences of things that occur. It's not something you ever want to have. It is still something that is active in our world, although it is significantly contained. You don't want leprosy. But you also, when this would have been read, this would have happened with Jesus, you also would have not only experienced the disease, but also the shunning of your community. So in order for a person to not be immediately killed who had leprosy, they had to announce to people that they were unclean. They would kind of, walk down the road and say, unclean, so that people would keep their distance from them. It's a miracle that they survived by the generosity of somebody willing to go beyond that barrier, because they really were not supposed to have anything to do with, regular folk. If a leper were to enter into the room should have scattered. Now, these are also men who have been rejected by their community. Their families cannot have anything to do with them. And this occurs right on the borderline of communities, of religious and ethnic groups. So there is Jesus on the borderline and encountering these folks with skin diseases, and they're saying, please have mercy on us. They've heard something. They've encountered, they see something in Jesus. And Jesus, being a good Jewish person, could have said, get away from me. And no one would have thought a word, a thought about how awful that would have been. Rather, he talks to them and he says, hey, go show yourself to the priest. Now, why does he do that? Why doesn't he kind of explore what is wrong with them? Why is it that you are in this particular situation? What has been the systemic nature, the cause of all this trouble for you? And in fact, there was an explanation active inside of the religious imagination at the time, which was they had sinned or their parents had sinned. They had brought this on themselves, and they got what they deserved, right? So it would have been very easy for, just like everyone else, to say, oh, this is, what goes around comes around. And off you go. Jesus doesn't do that. They cry out. Jesus says, go show yourself to the priest. Now, why is he doing that? Is he passing the buck? Is he saying, this is something I don't want to deal with. We can't deal with this today. It's too much. No, he's in a pretty radical act saying this. You're going to be healed, and in order for that to be certified so people will leave you alone and you could reintegrate back into the community, you go show yourself to the priest. He doesn't go through all the rigmarole. He doesn't go through the examination or the theological kind of reflection on it all. He says, you need to get certified because you're going to be healed. Here is your gift now. Go and show yourself to the priest. And probably with some trepidation and uncertainty, off they go to the priest to show themselves what is going on. And they're healed. This undeserved, unprocessed gift of restoration comes as an act of love to these 10 men. Now, they have an opportunity to respond to this, right? They have had their life literally handed back to them. They are given their life back. They have been given the opportunity through the priest looking at them and saying, well, they're healed for whatever reason. The priest would say, all right, well, you can reintegrate with our community. You can reintegrate with your family. Welcome home. Now, what are they going to do? What's the next thing that you would do, having had your life handed back to you? What is it that you do? In our particular case, one of those who's kind of a marginal sort of, you know, Jew adjacent. He's not even Jewish, but he's you know, of a community that would have understood the Jewish religion in their own way. He goes back, finds Jesus having presented himself, having been cured from this horrible disease, having had his life handed back to him, and he goes back and he gives thanks to God for what God has done. Right? What a gift. He didn't deserve the gift, but he recognizes that it was grace beyond his control, so he gives thanks, and his response is natural. It's heartfelt. It is central to who he is as a new person. And then there are the nine, the rest of the crew that was with him, who just go on with their life, having received a gift, but just go on. That's great. I'm back, baby. But with no acknowledgement of the giver. The gift is great. The giver. They simply move on. They're excited to be healed. They're eager to enjoy their returned life. Their first impulse is to embrace the gift itself. But the giver, we don't see that. They're not bad, but they're only focused on the gift, not the recognition of the source. Their experience is blessed, but they miss on the fullness of what they have been given, the fullness that comes with recognizing God's abundant gift, just as that, as a gift, not as an entitlement, not as something that they can just take advantage of, but something that is much bigger than even themselves. Excuse me. So the big difference here is that the grateful leper sees everything, healing, life itself, as a generous gift from the giver. That is gratitude that transforms his heart. We hold our gifts lightly and joyfully as people who have received so much. That is his heart's difference in that. That is the disposition. That is the attitude that his heart takes in the midst of all this. Now, if you listen to my podcast, podcast that comes out weekly that helps us kind of prepare for Sundays, you would have heard me make reference to that great saint of the church, Jimmy Buffett. Some of you may have gone and found the song that I was referring to. It's a lovely song. It is not Changes in Attitude, Changes in Latitude. That is not the song that I'm talking about. Some of you know that song too, and we'll talk about that in the narthex after church. No, this is a simple little children's song, an attitude of gratitude, a disposition of being thankful, of recognizing that there's something more just than just what you have in your hand, a recognition of it being more of a gift than it is a possession, what you have been given. An attitude of gratitude means that you operate from a place of understanding the abundance that you have, that you didn't deserve, that you didn't fully earn, that you didn't fully put in the place. Now, I know you work hard. I know we work hard together. And that there are things that are part of our life that we have, you know, studied for and put time and effort into. We have jobs, we have resources and means, some of us more than others. Some of us are working really hard right now. I commend you for that. That's good work. Some of us are longing to have jobs. Some of us are in a terrible fix because of the circumstances that we live in right now. And a lack of having an opportunity makes a huge difference. But I need to tell you that there is a need for us to, no matter how thick or thin it would be, to understand that that last breath that you drew is gift. These heartbeats that keep us going are gift. The air that we are working our way through is gift. The capacity for the earth to grow the food that we need in order to keep our bodies moving is a gift. The light, the gravity, all the things that God has set up just to keep us alive is a gift. Those resources that we have, they're not purely about you. We have an abundance. We live in scarcity sometimes, and we think in scarcity. Oh, we don't have enough. Oh, we need to have more. Oh. But an attitude that leans into the gratitude for what we have actually can shed a very different light on that which we say we don't have enough of, and actually will help us to move into an understanding of that generous gift from God, which is abundantly all over us. So a disposition of the heart that makes one grateful and helps one to share is fundamental to who we are as followers of Jesus Christ. Each of us always has a choice of what we will focus on, how we will make sense of things, and grateful people give thanks for everything in their lives, even on days when it feels like nothing is going right. Today, we are grateful for the saints, those who have gone on before us, those who have taught us things and inspired within us things, who lived in scarcity and abundance, who taught us about what was really important, and sometimes we need to be reminded of what's really important. So we are thankful for how they have been part of 150 years, just as people in the future will look at you, how you taught about abundance and gratitude and grace. So we'll light candles and remember names, and we'll recognize that we're not alone, that we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, including these that we will name just in a few minutes. But also, we have this opportunity to take this mantle now and to make sure that our attitude is in the right direction. The call today, the invitation for you today, is to remember the gifts that you have. Maybe even to name those. You know, there's a great deal of scientific evidence about the power of gratitude. People have taken for a number of years now to just naming those things, naming them at the end of the day, writing them in a journal, naming them as they're going through, naming them as they show up in front of people, looking at the people that they work with, looking at the people that they serve with, looking at the folks that we will serve next week with grace, and grateful for them and grateful for the opportunity. Live in thanks. So let your giving and your serving and your daily life be rooted, baked, marinated in gratitude. One of the most befuddling passages of Scripture Linda reminded us of last week. The Lord loves a cheerful giver. Now, the Lord also loves us when we're idiots, too, or jerks. But part of our growth, part of our growth as disciples of Jesus Christ is to root ourselves in a Eucharistic life, a life of thanksgiving. And I invite you to this now. So I say all this to you today in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.